Again, that's biotestplasma.com.
William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. It's Out of Bounds on WCCB 105.5 The Roar.
Who do you play for?
I play for the United States of America.
It's been 35 long years. Something I've been waiting 35 years. It's finally coming home, baby. It's coming home.
Social experiments. USA. 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 USA.
Okay, okay. You know, what does that even prove, okay? You chant anything, people will join in. Canada! 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 Okay, they won't chant anything.
You blitz all night! And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm gonna take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Oh, gosh. This has something to do with numbers and processing. Well, it carries a briefcase.
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. De Sean Watson, pase, touchdown! Touchdown, Clemson! Renzo! Con un segundo!
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really, a lot of hustle. I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold him out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out of the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold. The golden scepter is ours. Clemson downs Alabama 44-16 to win their second national championship in 3 years and their third overall.
Now Kwok and Kelly.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us here on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. It is Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, John Height with us here on the program. Live in a Priority One Security Studios where security is the first priority. Happy Friday. And of course, we don't get more than a couple days of good weather. It's raining. I will say congratulations to weather because the weather has been really, truly outstanding. This, I mean, what a blessing to have like 3 whole days. It hasn't rained since Monday, right?
I think so.
Hasn't rained since Monday. So when it was raining this morning, we can't complain too much because that was 3 whole days.
I've never seen it. I've never seen 3 straight days of good weather before.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. We have a lot to discuss today. 654 Roar's the number. We got a couple guests coming up. Brett Freelander was very upset, and I want to ask him why. Well, with the post-game press conference at Duke last night. And I say at Duke, the post-game press conference at in Charlotte, right, for the Duke-Syracuse game where Coach K was a little bit salty, not super salty, but real vague and kind of got miffed. And I think Brett was with him. Mm-hmm. We're going to ask Brett about that at 12:25 because he made me go look up the video and watch it myself. That was Brett's contribution to me last night.
There you go.
Also, we have Kelly Gramlich is going to join us at 105. She's doing a little Big South women's basketball tournament. Yeah, she's big time now. So she's up at Radford for a couple days calling ball, and so we're going to get her thoughts on a lot of stuff. So we'll ask her about what she's doing, but also the stuff that's going on here. Also, I want to talk a little free agency. There were some things that happened yesterday. Some pieces continue to fall into place, etc. We got some bubble situations that worked themselves out or didn't work themselves out yesterday. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Of course, this is one of the great days in sports, and it's a little bit odd because the ACC really doesn't partake until later. The Friday, I love the Thursday of ACC basketball. Loved it growing up. The Friday, though, is always a really good day, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, by this point, this sounds really bad, but by this point, you kind of knew, all right, Clemson, a lot of my childhood, Clemson's playing a one seed. They're going to lose.
Right.
It's fine. Like, it's whatever. If you play the one seed, they lose. And then you can watch other good basketball in the ACC. This afternoon, no ACC ball. So right now, there are only two games in progress, UConn and Houston, Rhode Island and VCU. The good news is, if you're a Clemson fan and you're still clinging to that 12% or whatever it is chance that Clemson going to make the NCAA tournament, you have keen rooting interest in that game because it would be really nice and easy if Houston just went ahead and won the AAC. If Cincinnati won or some of the UCF that's already in, that would be fine, but you may as well just make it academic and let the one seed win. And then VCU, who's got a pretty good at-large resume and is probably mostly in regardless, VCU also needs to win the A-10. So you need both those teams to win here early today.
Okay. Now we know what we're looking for.
Look, we're going to talk a lot about who to root for and what we're looking for today. Okay. It's going to be a lot of fun. John, how are you?
Doing well, Quack. How you doing?
Doing good. Man, I'm doing great this hour. Brought to you by our friends at Zero Res. Impress your friends and family with a clean home. Zero Res brings a whole new meaning to clean carpets. They are just like new. They use impact water. No residue, odors, toxic chemicals left behind. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. Call 558-7300. No one can clean like Zero Res. John, did you watch any of the ACC tournament yesterday? Did you watch any of that?
I was fortunate enough to be at Twin Peaks yesterday, so we had all the TVs and had it all on. And when I got home, I didn't get enough basketball yesterday, so I turned on the Duke-Syracuse game and the Zion shoe coverage. And in case you were wondering, Zion dunked the ball a couple of times.
I was
really worried that ESPN wasn't going to show it, so I'm very thankful that they decided to do that.
You know what? Hold that thought, because that is very interesting. I've gotten some interesting responses on Twitter to that and seen a lot of Twitter conversation. I want to go through some scores yesterday and just what were the meaningful results. First of all, in the ACC, you had Virginia and North Carolina and Duke all winning, along with Florida State, who beat Virginia Tech with two miracle shots.
That was a great game.
Super game. Golly, it was a super game. And I think the better team won. Generally, I don't think the better team yesterday won. I thought Virginia Tech was a better team yesterday.
Yes, I would agree
with
that.
I think Florida State's generally a better team than Virginia Tech. Also yesterday, you had West Virginia upset Texas Tech, as Bob Huggins said, going into the tournament 12-19 is no deterrent. He's going to come from the very bottom of the league and just storm right through and take what's his.
Yes, as someone would say, he started from the bottom, and now he's here.
That's correct. Huggins has the Mountaineers, again, 14-19 right now. After a win over Texas Tech, it was a two-seed in the tournament. He has them rolling into the semifinals. Nevada won yesterday. That's good for Clemson. Kansas State beat TCU. That's good for Clemson. TCU has a weird resume in that they have 20 wins, but also 7-11 in the Big 12. Kansas beat Texas yesterday. That's good for Clemson. Texas losing by 8 to Kansas. Texas need to win. I don't see them putting a 16-16 basketball team in the tournament. I don't care how many quality wins you have. You don't have enough wins generally. You lost too many games.
You went 500. You don't deserve to be in the tournament.
16 wins. No way. No thank you. Buffalo destroyed Akron. That's good for Clemson. Nebraska beat Maryland. That's weirdly good for Clemson. And Nebraska wins a few more games because that loss has looked worse over time as Nebraska's entire team has been depleted by injuries. But now Tim Miles, who's reportedly on a hot seat there, maybe making his last stand at Nebraska. Let's see. Auburn beat Missouri. Marquette beat St. John's. That's probably good for Clemson, even though St. John's probably in. They're getting blasted by 32. You never know. They have a weird resume with some bad losses, whether in margin or in the opponent they lost to. That's not great. Villanova beat Providence. That's good for Clemson. Providence is on the edge of the bubble. Iowa State beat Baylor. That's probably a neutral game, 83-66. Let's see. Florida beat Arkansas. Not good for Clemson. Florida's probably in now. I think Florida was probably in regardless. They were a Texas resume with better overall record and better wins and everything. They just had a better Texas-type resume than Texas did. Xavier beat Creighton. That's good and bad for Clemson because Creighton was a bubble team, better than Xavier. And so if both those teams are knocked out, then that's good for Clemson, although Clemson did lose to Creighton, and now that game doesn't look quite as good. Washington beat USC by 3 yesterday. Again, good for Clemson because the Pac-12 is maybe a 1, probably a 2-bid league at this point because Arizona State also won yesterday. They beat UCLA, and that's bad for Clemson. Because right. If UCLA had beaten Arizona State, there's a good argument to make that Arizona State would be out of the tournament. Let's see. What else on here? Oh, Richie Riley, former Clemson assistant, with back-to-back wins as a lower-seeded team with South Alabama, beating Louisiana yesterday.
The Jaguars.
So that's fun. Minnesota beat Penn State in overtime yesterday. Not great for Clemson because Minnesota's on a bubble. That was win number 20. They're probably in. Alabama beat Ole Miss. That's not great for Clemson. That's a win for Alabama over a tournament team in Ole Miss who's already in. And I think Alabama is at least closer to being in. They're right there on that cut line, and I think they jumped Clemson yesterday in the pecking order. I think that makes sense. Utah State beat New Mexico. That's probably okay. As long as Nevada and Utah State both get to the championship of the Mountain West, that's good for Clemson. You don't need a bid thief out of the Mountain West Conference. And then, let's see, Mississippi State beat Texas A&M. That coach is so fired there. Seton Hall beat Georgetown. That's good. They basically just put the knife in Georgetown.
Poor Patrick Ewing.
Let's see. I know. They've had some really rough losses down the stretch. And that's pretty much it. So, as you can see there, that was a lot. I just threw a lot at you. The point is, it was about 50-50 yesterday on the bubble. 50-50 for Clemson. 50-50 against Clemson. If you look at the people that care, and I'm just specifically going to cite teamrankings.com right now because they have a weird algorithm. Clemson has a slightly better chance to make the NCAA tournament today than they did yesterday based on what happened on the bubble.
Interesting.
With Texas falling off, with some of the wins, especially earlier in the day. Later in the day, the teams won that needed to win, but earlier in the day, a lot of the action benefited Clemson. They go from 12% to 16%, according to teamrankings.com. Most brackets probably still have Clemson out. But as we said yesterday, it is still possible, is unlikely at this point because of the type of resume Clemson has, but it is still possible because there's enough good that if enough teams take themselves out of it, if enough Texas-type teams take themselves out, that perhaps Clemson will be looked at favorably. The problem is now, if teams are still playing, then they probably have done one of two things. Either they were already in, they're already out, or they've played themselves in. So, it's, you know, after, does that make sense?
Yeah, like, no, it does.
After yesterday's action, you really don't have a chance to see a lot of teams needing to win another game. That's just not the case this year. I mean, you look at the schedule today and some of the games coming up. I mean, maybe Ohio State needs to beat Michigan State to feel good about itself, but I think Ohio State might be in after a win yesterday. Certainly, if Florida beat LSU, would help. If UCF beat Memphis, it would help, but I don't think they need that type of win. Let's see. Obviously, I've said that South Carolina beating Auburn would be great for Clemson. I think South Carolina getting all the way to the championship game would be great for Clemson. I know Clemson fans are mad about that. I just think that's true.
I get the point where you're coming from with it. I just have a tough time doing it.
I understand.
It's a struggle for me.
You need all the teams to win that need to win. Buffalo, VCU, Houston.
Let's go Buffalo.
You know, Nevada and Utah State. You need all those teams to keep winning today. But, like, Alabama plays Kentucky. Maybe they lose Kentucky. They're out. It's like the Alabama-Ohio States that won yesterday. The only way you get in is, like, all those teams lose
today.
That would basically be the way that you, again, continue to climb up the board. And we still don't know exactly what the committee's going to say in terms of net rating because what Team Rankings does is they use RPI, and RPI looks at Clemson less favorably than net rating does. So the true chances might be up closer to 30 to 40%.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if I'm just reading tea leaves here, we'll continue to monitor this. My point going through that entire exercise was just to say the actions, if you're a Clemson fan that wants the Tigers in the NCAA tournament, which I know there's some of you that don't, and I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But if you're a Clemson fan, if you're a Clemson fan that wants the Tigers in the NCAA tournament, then there are still rooting interests that you can take today that if you want to invest yourself emotionally in that process.
Right.
That you ultimately could see the Tigers improve their position today. It could happen.
So you need a lot to go. Telling me there's a chance.
I'm telling you there's a chance. It's very unlikely, but still. You can at least improve your position.
Improve your position gives you a reason to tune in Sunday.
Now you, for sure. Now you look at this. Now we get to some other stories in here.
Okay.
Because the basketball on the floor is taking a back seat.
Absolutely.
Zion's shoe. Okay, which we'll talk about that with Brett Freelander. And I've got some other thoughts on that. I know you've got thoughts on that because you already. Yeah, I told you to hold that. We'll do that here in just a second. But then you've got these two cheating scandals that have embroiled Southeastern coaches. One is Will Wade. Will Wade basically says, "I'm exercising my due process rights. My employer's being a meanie, and they won't let me. They won't let me coach.
They're picking on me, and it's not fair."
Pretty much.
It just means more to Will Wade.
To me, right. To me, their due process rights say they have the right not to incriminate themselves by letting Will Wade say, we did it. Yeah. I did it, yes. That to basically refuse, if he refuses to talk, then they don't have to let him coach. They can suspend him pending an investigation into an internal matter that has the possibility of causing irreparable harm to the school. You could say, I don't know the language in his contract. I just made all that up. That seems like something that might be in a contract.
That sounded legit to me.
I think that's easy. Because LSU basically said they won't talk. We're suspending him. But we're going to let the player play, which is the breaking news. That Smart, the LSU player who was being discussed in the second wiretap of Will Wade, Javonte Smart is playing during the inquiry into his eligibility. That seems a little bit iffy.
The bold strategy, Cotton.
That seems a little bit iffy. Basically, what you would say is, if they lose, here's the deal. LSU could go all in sort of on this while maintaining this, what seems like the more high ground.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how they do that. You suspend Will Wade, which is the head honcho guy, and your fans are already mad at you. They're not going to be not mad at you. If you bring him back, they like point of no return. They hate the AD. They chanted F Oliva at the home game last week because he wouldn't play the obvious. He wouldn't let the obvious cheater coach. But the obvious cheater.
How dare them?
I know. It really is ridiculous. Like the guy's going to have to sit up in front of a federal court and testify. He can't perjure himself. He could. He can go to jail. He's not going to perjure himself. He's going to tell all this. And the response of the fans is to get mad at the AD for trying to have some sort of backbone. I don't know about that.
The audacity of Joe Oliva. I can't believe it.
Right? So anyway, so they suspend him, which gives the appearance that you're doing all right. But then also, if you play Javonte Smart, who's a top 50 recruit and a really good point guard, if you play him, he's averaging 11.5 points, 3.3 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 1.4 steals a game this year. If you let him play and you win a bunch of games, the reality is you're probably going to lose without him at some point. You might win a game you would otherwise lost without him. That loss is a loss regardless of what happens with the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
If they turn wins into games that weren't played, that doesn't hurt you if you're going to lose the game anyway.
Yeah.
So basically what they're doing is it's the appearance of the moral high ground while letting the player play so that they can win as many games as possible until the NCAA says all the games he played in make him ineligible. That's essentially what happened here.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. If you got a guy who's involved in these types of things, don't play him. Don't play him until the process is done. But I understand that, you know, winning is more important than integrity.
You see the rationale, though. See the rationale for LSU.
I get it. I don't agree with it, but I get it.
We're going to talk about this more in just a second, but I want to address a couple things. First of all, a text from the 864 says, do you believe Clemson's resume is stronger than last year's Syracuse tournament team? Another text from the 864, they look at margin of loss. And text from the 706 says Clemson only gets in off the strength of the ACC. That's probably wrong because the reason that Clemson's in is because of how they've played.
Right.
It's not about their strength of the ACC. If that was true, they would just get in.
All 15 teams would get in.
Right. The reason they're out is because they only have one quad one win.
Right.
And their best win is against a team that was missing its best player. Now, Tudortown Tiger says the QBI, Quackenbush Basketball Index, I was looking at something else, has us with a 40% chance. I'll take it. I wouldn't say 40%. I'm saying the RPI is more bearish on Clemson than the net rating. And team rankings has said in their percentage chance that they factor in RPI, where mm-hmm. Clemson is about 60 right now, and the net rating there 35. So I'm just, if they're 16% with an RPI of 60, where that's pretty far down the list of eligible teams that are going to get in, I would say that there's a pretty decent chance that the actual percentage is closer to 50-50. I would say more like 30. Okay. 30 or 35%. It's still more likely than not, maybe a 2-to-1 odds that Clemson doesn't get in. But some of the things happened on the bubble were beneficial yesterday. Stay with us. More to come, Out of Bounds. We got Brett Freelander talking Zion Shoe and the bad press conference at 13 for 13. Stay with us.
Don't forget, the Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is a perfect location for wedding rehearsals, large groups, office parties, graduation parties, family reunions, and birthday celebrations. The Blue Heron can also take care of your catering needs. Locally owned and operated, the Blue Heron is proud to serve Tiger fans the finest steaks and freshest seafood around. 405 College Avenue in Clemson. Call 864-653-3354 for reservations. Visit blueheronfood.com for menu and more information.
The 2018 model blowout sale rolls on at George Coleman Ford, where cars cost less and travelers less, like a Ford Escape Titanium with leather and moonroof. Suggested retail at $36,175, sale priced at just $29,999. We're talking great deals at George Coleman Ford, with four generations of Colemans taking great care of you. The 18 model blowout sale at George Coleman Ford.
Everyone qualifies. Offer good through April 4th, 2019.
Hey guys, this is Taj Boyle with Lakeside Lodge Clemson. It's been a great year for Tiger football and for Lakeside Lodge. We want to say thank you for welcoming us to the Clemson family. Construction is well underway, and there are a handful of luxury condos remaining. If you haven't gotten yours yet, call us today to schedule a tour, or come see me at our sales office at 906 Tiger Boulevard. Trust me, you'll want to be a part of this Lakeside Lodge Clemson. It belongs here, and so do you.
Mickey Pollard here with another great offer from Zero Res. Spring is upon us, and so is the dust and dirt. Now through the end of March, mention Mickey Pollard and get 3 rooms of carpet clean for only $119 and a hallway for free. Get ahead of the spring cleaning rush. And did you know that Zero Res also cleans air ducts? Call for a free estimate, 864-558-7300, or book online at ZeroResGreenville.com. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
Join us at the 3rd Annual Big Splash Sales Event at Clemson Marina, extended through Saturday, March 16th. Start the boating season with the biggest boat sales event of the year, with discounts up to $3,000 off select Veranda luxury pontoons, Monterey sports boats, and express fishing boats powered by Yamaha outboards. Talk with reps from Freedom Boat Club, a new concept in boating enjoyment on Lake Hartwell. Enjoy local vendors, a catfish fry from the grill, and kids entertainment, plus demo rides and giveaways the entire day. The 3rd Annual Big Splash Sales Event, Saturday, March 16th, 9 until 5. Your chance to save as much as $3,000 off select Veranda luxury pontoons, Monterey sports boats, and express fishing boats powered by Yamaha outboards. Mother Nature moved us to March 16th, 9 to 5 at Clemson Marina on Lake Hartwell. The 3rd Annual Big Splash Sales Event.
Life can be complicated from time to time. If you need a local attorney, Nick Lavery will help you navigate any issue, whether it's criminal, personal injury, or if you need help with a residential or commercial real estate closing. With over 19 years of experience and a former state prosecutor, Nick knows the law. The office of Nick Lavery is conveniently located in downtown Clemson. Ready to win? Call Nick today at 864-654-3680 for your free consultation today.
Who's ready to travel? Spring means warmer weather, and warm weather means travel time. Why not travel on a set of Yokohama radial tires from Steve's Tire and Service in Easley? Steve's Tire and Service is going to be offering up to $100 mail-in rebate on Yokohama radial tires April 1st through 30th. The Avid family and the Gelander family are among this rebate, so get on over to Steve's Tire in Easley today. Call them at 859-1361 or check them out online, stscnow.com.
One is the voice of reason.
Yay!
One is the emotional one.
Yeah!
Can you tell which is which? It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
We haven't even gotten to the weirdest scandal of the day yesterday. And by weird, I just mean odd and real. You guys? Really?
Really?
Are we kidding, Georgia Tech? Are you joking me? I have thoughts on this. And the reporting that's come out on this is just outrageous. We're trying to track down Brett Freelander. He's been a tough guy to track down on Fridays, and especially ACC tournament.
Understandably.
He could be tied up in something, so we'll try to get him on as soon as we possibly can. This hour, though, brought to you by our friends at Harrys.com. You know what happened? Uncle Dave comes in, one of our sales guys. Uncle Dave comes in, and he goes, "Hey, you shaved." And I said, "Yes, I did. I trimmed the beard. I look nicer," whatever. And the reason people ask these questions is because of Harrys.com. Harrys.com does yeoman's work to give you a great shave. And right now, join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3 plus free shipping. Use OOB at Harrys.com. The founders of Harry's tired of paying for inferior products. Just tired of it. Just absolutely tired of it. They want a better system. They wanted a simpler process with a simpler razor and replacement blades half the price of other drugstore brands, including Gillette Fusion Pro Shield. They also come with a 100% quality guarantee, so if you don't love your shave, let them know. They'll give you a full refund, no problem. For a limited time, Harry's has a special offer for listeners of the show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code OOB at Harrys.com. You get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code OOB at Harrys.com. Go to Harrys.com today. Use code OOB at checkout to claim your offer. And be sure, once again, folks, to tell them that we sent you, because that's how you support the show. Regarding LSU and Georgia Tech, Texter says, winning's more important than integrity. What is he talking about? Everyone's paying players. I don't see how that's compromising integrity. Look, when Georgia Tech's doing it, I'm down with everyone's doing it. And not everyone meaning every single solitary person, but everyone meaning if you just look at ex-coach, you can assume that they're paying. Because Georgia Tech wasn't winning anything. They haven't won squat. They haven't done squat in the Pastner era. They're an eye-roll program right now. And yet they were allegedly taking Wendell Carter to strip clubs with Jared Jack. Much more on this. Brett Freelander joining us right now. NSJOnline.com. He writes for the North State Journal. At BFreedACC on Twitter. He's up in Charlotte covering the ACC men's basketball tournament with aplomb, as he does every single season. What's up, Brett?
I have not had a single plum this whole time. No, I've had a bunch of Dove bars. But not a single plum, I'm sorry.
You know, it wouldn't be an ACC tournament without Dove bars. It also would not be an ACC tournament without a potentially testy moment in a Coach K press conference. I saw your tweet last night. I was in transit during the post game, after the Duke game, and I saw your tweet when I got home that it was an embarrassing start to the press conference, and it was like 2 in the morning. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go look for myself, and I agreed. It was a weird press conference, and there was some weirdness about the way that game was even covered. What do you make of Zion's return and the way it was addressed last night?
Well, there is a media obsession with Zion Williamson to the point that it is forgotten that R.J. Barrett is probably the second best player in the country and is probably going to be the number 2 pick in the draft. And that there are other, you know, a couple of other good players on that team. It's really strange. And I would love to, you know, to sit with a psychologist maybe after the season and just kind of have them tell me what exactly is fueling this and the underlying, you know, themes here. But it's just crazy. And then the other part of it is that these days, there are way too many websites and media outlets that are, how shall we say this, quasi-legitimate, and that people who are allowed in, who are credentialed and are allowed in press conferences are probably people who have no business being there. And, you know, they like to hear their voices heard, and they ask dumb questions, and they were more than their share of dumb questions in that press conference yesterday. And Coach K finally got tired of it when somebody asked R.J. Barrett if they had anything to prove, and he shook his head, rolled his eyes, and chuckled and said, "You guys are amazing," and he's right.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was ridiculous the way that the thing was covered last night. I mean, I guess from an ESPN standpoint, from a national cover standpoint, it's clear based on what we saw yesterday, the basketball ratings up 15%. Ratings on Duke games up 30% from last year. So it's clear that Zion moves the needle. But you're right. There's a lot more to like about this Duke team. And they put it on display last night against what is really a bad matchup for them. That, I mean, I know they weren't 100%, but they did have Zion Williamson when they lost at home in overtime to Syracuse before. What was different about that Duke game to you than guys being out there that wasn't the case back in January when they lost to Syracuse?
Well, keep in mind, in January when they lost to Syracuse, Cam Reddish was out with a stomach bug, and Trey Jones got hurt, 6 minutes into the game, and
right.
They were up 12-0 at one point. So, when everybody is there for Duke, when all Duke's main pieces are there and they are playing well together, Duke is the only team that can beat Duke right now. Trey Jones is not a great shooter, but he is a facilitator who knows where and when to get the ball to guys. They have the sheer athleticism to just kind of run guys off the court. And, you know, the big difference with Zion is, he scores 29 points or 24 points a game. But the thing that makes him the difference maker is what he does on defense. I mean, they're not a great defensive team, but he is the great equalizer. I mean, there was one play last night, and I wish I could remember when it was. I think it was early in the second half. Elijah Hughes beat his man, had a clear path to the basket, and Zion came in from behind and blocked the thing and swatted into the into the media row there, and you didn't have that before when he wasn't there. I'm really interested in seeing how this is going to play out tonight against UNC because if you remember the game in Cameron, Luke May scored 30 and 15. Well, he abused Jack White and Javon Delorier. That's not going to happen tonight. I want to see how quickly Garrison Brooks picks up three fouls because I'm pretty sure it's going to happen quickly. That's going to be the interesting thing to me tonight is to see exactly how big of an impact he makes on that particular matchup.
The other semifinal tonight, 7:00, Florida State and Virginia. I kind of feel like Virginia's a default setting at this point, but Florida State, to me, they escaped Virginia Tech. I actually don't hate this matchup for them. I think they could do a number on Virginia if they can avoid long droughts. What do you think about the Seminoles' chance to hang with Virginia tonight?
Well, they're real athletic and they're real long, but you hit it on the head. They are prone to long droughts. And, it's really, you talk about the Zion effect. It affects this game, too. This is basically the default JV matchup.
Yeah.
And it's incredible because Virginia's number one in the country in the net ratings, number two overall. They're the co-champion of the ACC. And again, like you said, they're playing a team that made it to the Elite Eight last year and has a legit shot at getting to Minneapolis this year. And really nobody's talking about it. But, yeah, I think Florida State does have a shot. I think it's going to be it's going to be a good competitive game. But I just think that Virginia is real focused. I just think they play such great defense and have much more offensive capabilities than they did last year. And if you get Jack Salt playing anywhere near the level he played yesterday, then forget it. It's over.
Visiting with Brett Friedlander, NSJOnline.com. He writes for the North State Journal covering the ACC this week, at BFriedACC. On Twitter, he does a great job of the Atlantic Coast Conference all year long, but especially this time of year when tournament time is in full swing. Clemson NC State played a barn burner. There were a lot of hot takes up here. Oh, yeah, there were a lot of hot takes here, let me tell you. Where do you stand on, blowing a big lead, getting out to the big lead in the first place, officiating down the stretch? What are your thoughts on that and what it does for NC State and Clemson on Selection Sunday coming up?
Well, first of all, the officiating in this tournament has been horrendous.
No doubt.
The entire tournament. And in that particular game, it was pretty bad for both teams. I can tell you this. I've seen that replay a dozen times, and I think the foul was legit because I think that he was, hit on the arm. But I think that foul should have been the sixth personal foul, a sixth team foul. I think it came before the shot, and NC State should have got the ball out on the side.
Yes.
6.2 seconds to go, or 2.6 seconds, or whatever it was. I think that's where I stand on that. But here's where I stand on this in the big picture. if you've got an 18-point lead in the first half, if you've got a 16-point lead at halftime, and you are just dominating, it should never come down to a call on the last possession of the game. You can't let that happen. And I think Clemson made it look too easy in the first half, especially from 3-point range, and they fell in love with it. And you know, when the shots stopped going, they lost all their rhythm. And I think that's more on them than it is on the officials.
Look, I don't disagree at all. It came down there at the end. You would have liked to see, from a Clemson perspective, would have liked to see him get a break, but they could have made their own breaks. There's no doubt. We just talked about how what happened on the bubble yesterday may have been a net gain for Clemson as we look at just sort of what's happening as all these teams get caught up in the wash with one another down the bottom. These teams with really weird and kind of bad resumes, to be quite honest with you, like Texas loses a 16th time and all of a sudden they're out. They weren't out with 15, now they're out with 16 losses. What do you make of the bubble right now, and specifically with Clemson and NC State? Because NC State's resume with the RPI is a non-starter, and yet this year they seem to be in. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, forget the RPI.
Yes.
It's a dinosaur. It's done. It's passe. NC State is going to be the test case for the new net rating. I think they've made such a big deal of it, and I think that given all of the attention that it has been given during the season, that committee can't go back and change the rules now. I think that NC State is solidly in the field because of their net rating. If you look at it, they've got, I believe, 9 quad one and quad two wins. I mean, their schedule is not that bad. I mean, Auburn, they played Vanderbilt, they played Wisconsin, they played Penn State. Now, all those teams aren't great, but, I mean, they played most of those games on the road, and, you can't anticipate when you make the schedule at the beginning of the season or 2 years out or whatever you make them, that, the circumstances with injuries and things like that. So I don't think the schedule is that bad, but let's move on to the other end of that. We've been talking for months now as how the bubble is absolutely, to me, the weakest I've ever seen it. And so you have teams like NC State and Clemson that, are still in the conversation. And like you said, teams that are there on the bubble with them losing definitely helps. Now, what you also need is St. Mary's beating Gonzaga, not a good thing. And so teams that are on the bubble right now, like Clemson, need number one seeds to win in every one bid conference. They also need Washington to win in the Pac-12, because if they don't, it becomes a two bid league, and right now it's a one bid league. I think they've got a chance, but I think they need a lot of things to happen, and it'll be interesting to watch how this thing plays out over the next couple of days.
I 100% agree with you on all of that. And one of the things that I pointed out in to the RPI's detriment in the past is that it put too much of a premium on who you played. But you're right. NC State's resume at the top, it should be a no-brainer. It really should. We shouldn't look at the RPI. We shouldn't look at the strength of schedule metrics necessarily, because even with that strength of schedule in the non-conference, they still have a resume of wins that competes. I wonder your thoughts on this, and we've talked about this a little bit in the past too, I think in passing, but some of the little guys, the Furmans, the UNC Greensboros, the Belmonts, who Lenardi now has as his last team in, the teams that, if St. Mary's had lost to Gonzaga, if a team like VCU loses in the A-10 tournament, teams with decent resume, Lipscomb is another one. Would you rather see more teams like that may not get the quantity of opportunities and still may be beneath some of these teams on the KenPom BPI scale and some of that stuff? Or would you rather see more of the tested teams in big leagues like an NC State, like a Clemson, like an Ohio State or Indiana? Where do you fall on that spectrum?
I believe that the Southern Conference deserves three teams. I would rather see Furman and UNC Greensboro in that tournament and think they would put up a better fight than Indiana, Ohio State, Oklahoma, anybody from the Pac-12. I am fully right, on the mid-major bandwagon right now. And if there's ever a year that they can justify doing that, putting those teams in instead of the middling, middle-of-the-road power five conference teams, this is it. And that's another factor that's going to play into whether Clemson gets a bid or ends up in the NIT, is that, you know, how does the committee approach this? Do they follow the same old pattern and give much more credence to Power 5 teams that finish 8th or 9th in their league? Or are they going to go with teams that, like, Furman is, to me, the biggest no-brainer of all. I mean, you look at their losses, and they're, you know, most of them are to Wofford, right? They lost to them 3 times.
That's right.
And they've got to win on the road against Villanova, and I think that's got to count for something. Look at UNC Greensboro. Their only losses are to Furman, to Wofford. They lost to LSU on the road by 4. And they were up on Kentucky with 8 minutes to go and ended up losing by 12 at Rupp. That's it. Everybody else they beat.
Look, I agree with you. I think a few opportunities and decent achievements should be rewarded. We'll see what the committee says. Brett, unfortunately, we're out of time. We could keep doing this because, you know, we love talking ball. We love talking selections. Good luck tonight, my man. Good luck with the Zion scrum. Godspeed. We'll look forward to visiting with you again next week.
Well, here's the thing. I've got it made tonight because I'm covering the Carolina angle, and my coworker Sean Crest here is covering the Duke angle. So he's going to get the circus, and I'll just cover the game.
There you go. We'll pray for Sean. How about that?
Thank you. He can use that. He's rooming with me this week. He needs all the prayers he can.
Oh, very good. We appreciate it, Brett. Enjoy, my man.
Take care, guys.
All right, you do the same. Brett Freelander joining us here on the program. More on this, more round ball. 654 Roar is the number. 654-767. We're talking more Zion Williamson on the other side next.
Tiger baseball hosts the Notre Dame Fighting Irish this weekend in a pivotal ACC home series for the Tigers. First pitch is set for 6 p.m. on Friday, 3 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday with the pregame show beginning 30 minutes before each contest. Catch all the action right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Catch every exciting minute of Tiger baseball right here on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
With spring around the corner, Goodyear and the Pendleton Tire Company are kicking savings into high gear. Now through March 31st, get incredible deals on some of our best tires for wet conditions, like the all-weather Goodyear Assurance Weather Ready, built with advanced traction for superior performance on slick roads. Get fresh deals for your wheels with savings up to $200 by rebate when you use your Goodyear credit card, subject to credit approval. Come see Zach or Joey for complete details or check them out at PendletonTire.com.
Rely on EnviroMulch for your outdoor project. With all the rain we've had, they can help with rock crush and run along with 57 stone for your erosion, flooding driveway, and water pooling issues. Order online at EnviroMulchOnline.com.
Washington has come to its senses by reducing our tax burden. Now we can take advantage to reinvest in ourselves and our businesses to continue our economic growth. I'm George Jeffries with Metal Building Supply Company. It's a great time to start that business dream of yours or perhaps expand or refurbish your existing facilities. Come see us or call us at 864-295-0506. Talk with me or Kevin Brown about how we can help you. And God bless America.
The bus is on us. The Cat Bus is free to ride. It doesn't matter if you're a student, senior citizen, or an alumni in town for a game. You can take advantage of what the Cat Bus has to offer. Like getting you in and out of downtown Clemson hassle-free for a bite to eat, some shopping, or saving you money instead of riding around looking for a place to park. Take a Cat Bus today to downtown Clemson for a bite to eat, or just doing some shopping with retailers and restaurants. Cat Bus. The bus is on us.
It's daylight savings time, and that means big savings for you at Kraft Stove Store and Patio. Save 20% off all in-stock and special order patio furniture from names like Tropitone, Summer Classics, Lloyd Flanders, and more. It's time to get out and grill with savings on Weber, Big Green Egg, Broilmaster, and much more. Shop and save today on our already low prices. It's all at
craft stove, stove and patio.
No rules, just out of bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
We don't need to get caught up in the minutiae.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Don't rock the jukebox. Wanna hear some Jones? 'Cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's gone.
Hour one continues out of bounds. William Quaggenbush, John Height, joining you here in the Priority One Security Studios. And we're talking bubbles, we're talking brackets and all that stuff. I thought Brett was excellent there on the ACC tournament. And Zion Williams' performance last night definitely moved the needle. You were not super pleased with the coverage of Zion last night, I take it.
It was excessive. It was too much.
Okay.
You know, you wanted to see him come back, see how healthy he looked, and you could tell, you know, a minute into that game when he took off from the free throw line and dunked it that, all right, he's fine. He's good. But I had more of an issue with the pregame than I did the actual game coverage. It was just, yeah. It was too much. Like, when they're showing Zion before they, you know, were doing starting lineups, and the camera's just sitting there in his shoes. It was too much. That was tough. They were forcing it to me. I understand it's a storyline, and it deserves to be talked about. But just be like, oh, Zion's playing. They sent 14 people out to China to make these special sneakers for him, and now he's ready to play. Back to you, Reese. Like, that's all it needed, but we didn't need, you know, the whole hour on it.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Because I really thought that one of the interesting parts of this was how much they sort of just focus on the non-playing part. And it was almost like when he started playing, people were like, wow, he's actually good at this. You know, we're not just doing this because.
Yeah.
We're doing this because he's good. But the sneakers and the hype and the and all this stuff, that's why the questions are weird in the postgame. That's why people are asking R.J. Barrett, like, if he had stuff to prove when he's the leading scorer in ACC and a first-team all-conference player. I mean, that's why people are asking Zion how it feels to be in the North Carolina Duke. Everyone lost their minds over Zion's return and the shoes and everything else. And it caused people who generally have a pretty good grasp of stuff to just so totally lose it.
Absolutely.
Like, I kind of felt that way when I was on Twitter after Clemson NC State, because you blew an 18-point lead, and because that happened, people were just like, just incoherently yelling. And I understood it. I mean, you're just trying to yell at something or somebody. You're just mad. You're just generally mad.
There's a lot of caps lock on Twitter.
People were just generally hype about Zion playing, and so people just freaked out. It was a total freak-out fest where Jay Billis is calling stuff, and I should have watched on Raycom last night. I've been back and forth with the Raycom and ESPN.
You got to go Raycom. It's your last chance.
I mean, I legitimately heard Jay Billis do this. Like, wow.
Yeah.
What a rebound. Now, it was a great rebound. That particular rebound was great. It was above the rim, and it was exceptionally good.
Absolutely.
But some of that had to do with the fact that there was hype in the game, and so everything that happened in the game was going to be hyped. I mean, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy in many ways.
Yes. We all know how amazing Zion is. That is not breaking news. And I understand, like, I'm watching the game last night, and all these dunks and these plays. I mean, I'm saying wow, but I'm not the color guy who went to Duke, who goes to every practice and, you know, toured them all over Canada and wherever else they played. I mean, it's like Jay Billis saw Zion Williamson for the first time last night.
It was a little bit. It was a little much.
I understand. I mean, I get excited watching Zion play. He moves the needle. I probably wasn't going to watch that game after a long day. I was going to watch something else, but Zion's back. All right, let's tune in. I just feel like, you know, those of us at home are allowed to be, you know, going nuts over it, but the people on TV, act like you've been there.
Here's why they do it. Okay, and all the time when we criticize, and I say we because I'm in this boat too. When we criticize, things like a texter from the 336 says, wait for the E60 and or 30 for 30 on Zion shoes. I mean, legitimately, the fact that this guy had Nike reps fly out the next day, say, what's the problem? What's the deal? Their stock dropped. Certainly, that was a big deal. At least in the moment, their stock dropped. It rebounded by the afternoon.
Right.
And it was already dropping a little bit. It's hard to correlate those two things. It's easy to correlate the two things. It's hard to say what caused it, right?
Absolutely.
The stock dropped for Nike, and they rebounded, much like the Kaepernick thing where it dropped, and then it rebounded actually above where it was by the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But they had folks fly back. Coach K says all this last night. Jonathan Jones asked a question from Sports Illustrated. He asked him, what's that the last few weeks been like with Nike? He said, reps flew back, tried to figure out what happened with the shoe. They flew to China to look at how to create an optimal shoe for him. Then they, like, hand-delivered it back to Duke, the new shoe.
Is it like, did they put it in the case that they carry around Corso's headgear in? You know, like that giant lockbox to make sure, like, it's, you know, protected?
Like, it was customized to some degree, we know. I mean, this is outrageous. A great take. This is from, I think Kevin said this on Twitter. I need to find this. Stuart Mandel said this, okay? Kevin sent it to us.
All right.
So a shoe company could send people to China to build one Duke player a better shoe. But if one of those same people gave him $1,000, his college career would be over. It is a little bit weird where we draw the line. It is a little bit weird that we draw the line in this one spot. Where Duke gets Nike reps to pay to fly across the country from Oregon to Durham.
Right.
Then fly to China, fly back, and hand-deliver a shoe to one player. It seems like a lot.
It's excessive, yeah.
If a businessman had given Zion Williamson the value of that shoe after doing all that same air travel, it would be a violation of NCAA rules. But we allow Nike to do it. It's a little bit weird.
I didn't even think about it that way. That is weird.
With that said, before we go to the phones, I just need to say this. I tweeted this out yesterday. This is a press release from ESPN. I'm just going to read some of this, okay?
Okay.
ESPN's industry-leading college basketball slate was up significantly year-over-year with men's basketball up 15%, averaging almost 1.2 million viewers per game. It was 1,199,000 viewers per game. Across all networks, men's basketball finished up 6%. Women's basketball was up 5%. Very interesting.
The Amanda Butler effect, go on.
Okay, right. ESPN's franchise programming led the way for the network with its Sonic Blockbuster and Saturday Primetime presented by H&R Block games being up 64% and 42% respectively. Now, we go down. On the men's side, ESPN aired the top six games across all networks. Here are the opponents in those six games.
Okay.
North Carolina at Duke, February 20th.
Makes sense.
Duke at North Carolina, March 9th.
Also makes sense.
Virginia at Duke, January 19th.
Okay.
Duke at Virginia, February 9th.
All right.
Tennessee at Kentucky, February 16th. Duke at Syracuse, February 23rd. That was after the horrific Jim Boeheim accident and right after Zion's injury.
Right.
Five of the top six were Duke games. We go down. Duke generated significant interest on ESPN this season with Duke games averaging 2,143,000 viewers, up 30% year over year. Even factoring out Duke's increased college basketball and ESPN is still up 6%, but overall it's up 15%. More than double the percentage increase is related to an increase in Duke viewership. That is the Zion Williamson effect. That is why when he goes to the bench, they have a split screen with Zion on the bench. And we're all going, wow, I can't believe they're doing this. This is crazy. This is bad for the viewer. It's bad for the game. It's bad for this. It's bad for that. It's good for ESPN. Zion is good for ESPN. If Duke is up 30% year over year and he had a good team last year, what's the difference?
Zion.
RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, Trey Jones. Zion is the difference. That's the thing that moves the needle for them. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I buy it. It's just... I mean, hearing all those numbers, you know, puts it into more of a perspective, but it is still a bit excessive.
We're going to give you the top five markets in men's and women's basketball coming up later, too. I think this is interesting. Okay. Thirsty Mangus is up with us next as we conclude our one. Got about 2 minutes left in this hour. 654 Roar, if you want to join him. What's up, Thirsty?
What's going on, Quadrant Bush? How are you doing today?
Doing great. I'm in rare Quadrant Bush form today, just filling out spreadsheets and brackets like a boss.
Tis the season, man.
It is.
I don't know if you noticed something last night, and it's something that's been going on all season, but despite Billis's attempts to crown Duke they're really bad at shooting the basketball. And for this fact, I made a proclamation at the beginning of the season that they'd be the most exciting team ever that doesn't win a conference or national title. And I, after watching last night, I feel even more comfortable in that claim. You know, Zion literally didn't miss a shot and was incredible, and yet Syracuse was right in the game without their best player. And, you know, there's just so many holes in Duke's offense that, you know, if you can somehow protect the rim, I mean, they're very vulnerable in March. This kind of screams, you know, the Belmont loss or the Lehigh loss, you know, those kind of games. So,
you know, it's interesting, Thirsty. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
It's
interesting to think about this because I think Thirsty is right in general. Duke is ranked, and I just looked this up, as of this morning, they are ranked 332nd out of 353 teams in three-point baskets. In three-point percentage. And yet they're a top 10 team in adjusted offense because they score from two so effortlessly and because they turn you over so much and get runouts and transition.
Right.
They didn't beat Syracuse because of offense. They beat Syracuse because of defense because they turn them over and got run out dunks and offensive rebounds as well where they grabbed 13 offensive boards. I think he's right, but they were 7 of 23 last night, which is right around where they normally would be, and they still won by 12 against a tough matchup.
Yeah.
So it's tough. Like, you kind of got to split the difference a little bit. I got one foot in the Thirsty camp that said they're in trouble. I got one foot in the my eyeballs tell me even when they don't make threes, they can still beat teams. So we'll see. More on Duke, more college basketball. We got a lot more to come. Hour two next.
Another hour of great sports talk from the Priority One Security Studios. We are